right, everybody. It is Fraughtcast time. Thank you for joining us. That was the soothing sound of Brendan's voice. We've got the whole crew plus a special comedian guest back again. My name, of course, is Ben. We have super blogger Vince in the house.
Yeah, that's me.
We have Brendan in the house.
Squad!
Yeah, that's back. And then we have Brett live in the internet.
Yeah, internet.
How's it living in the internet?
It's smaller than you would think.
But it's infinite. It's the worldwide internet.
Yeah, but then you have to go live in Vince's computer.
But at least it's new. This is going on Vince's new computer, so I can't wait for it to get
garbage disposal and everything in there. Yeah.
And then we have comedian Allison Stevenson back in the house.
Hi. Hey.
How's it going?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She brought a mason jar of coconut water and ice that Vince thought was a rain stick in her purse.
She was walking in and was like, clank, clank, clank.
Whatever happened to those rain sticks? I feel like they were so popular.
Was the one store that sold them? It was like the environmental
store.
It was
like the store. Rainforest Cafe or something.
Yeah. It was Hammacher Schlemmer type store, but it wasn't that.
It was like a hippie version of a Sharper Image.
Yeah. Oh. The Nature Shop or something?
Yeah.
It's something like
More
that.
More like Duller Image.
And the whole
Rain Sticks Incorporated.
Yeah, there was like a parking meter outside that was like, if you put a quarter in, you could buy an acre of rainforest. And you're like, damn.
Wow.
Is that all the rainforest is worth?
Well, it's worth more if you turn it into hamburgers.
It's true.
Today, we got a bunch of emails. Vince went and destroyed his insides.
I did. Or art. I don't know.
Science and art.
Yeah.
At Denny's.
Why can't it be both?
It could be.
Him and Matt Lieb tortured themselves and their guts with Denny's Hobbit menu.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a separate menu?
Yeah. No, we had to ask for it by
really?
Name. Yeah, yeah. So we went to the... So I call earlier in the day, and I called the one over by the wharf.
You got to make reservations.
Well, I just want to make sure they got the Hobbit menu, because I'm not going to go eat like regular Denny's
food. When you go to Middle Earth, you can't just show up.
Right. No. You have to be on Gandalf's scrolls. And you have to speak twice into the misty
mountain.
Sounds
very like speakeasy, like you've got to know a password.
Oh, exactly.
It's like the secret menu at In-N-Out Burger.
And he says, you shall not pass.
For at least a week.
Yeah. So I called the one at the wharf, and that was like the most awkward conversation I ever had. I'm like, hey, do you guys have the Hobbit menu? She's like, what? The 246? Oh, yeah, yes.
Grand Slam,
we have. I'm like, no. The Hobbit with the Hobbit. You know, you guys do the Hobbit menu with the Hobbits and the Lord of the Rings. He's like, oh, yeah, Hobbit. Yes.
And at that point, you're thinking, 50-50.
Yeah, I'm thinking, 50-50. So I tell Matt to meet me at the wharf location, and we go there. And, of course, you're like, she shows us the menu, and she's like, oh, we're not serving till Wednesday. I'm like, oh.
Any food? No food till Wednesday?
No Hobbit food.
Oh, it's only certain days of the week?
Because it's so different from regular Denny's food.
They were getting the supply. They were getting the shipment that night, I guess.
From Middle Earth.
Right.
Yeah. What's Hobbit Town called again?
By those giant
storks. The Shire.
Yeah. So then I'm sitting and watching Matt call the other Denny's down in the financial district. And he's like, do you guys have the Hobbit food with the, you know, you have the Hobbity food? Do you guys have that Hobbity food menu? And he's much more shameless than I am. So he'll just be like, yeah, Hobbit food. Do you guys have it? Hobbity food?
Yeah, fucking
you
Hobbit
know,
food.
Wizards. The Hobbity food. So you have it. You do have it. You're serving it now. So we go down there and we order.
I like that it's only certain days of the week.
No, it's not certain days of the week. It's just it's new, so some of the locations don't have it, and
Got
it's sort
it.
Of like a promo. Also, it's Denny's, and I don't know if you know this about Denny's. A lot of the people, it's not like their
really,
life's dream to work at a Denny's.
I disagree with you.
So, you know, we went, and I had Smaug's Fire Burger.
Jesus.
Which Sounds was, really good.
Oh, wait, so is that dragon meat?
Exactly.
That would be awesome.
I can.
He's a dragon, right?
Oh, well, he is a dragon. Yeah, he's a very
so
greedy
dragon,
with lots of gold.
Was there gold in it?
Here's the description: a hand-pressed beef patty seasoned with our 7 pepper blend, served on a grilled cheddar bun with our special X sauce, jalapeno bottle caps, melted pepper jack cheese, lettuce, tomato, red onions, and pickles.
So it's supposed to be sort of like a spicy burger.
Yeah, and that was definitely the highlight of the meal because it actually tasted like a burger.
Dragon meat.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of Denny's having an X sauce.
Yeah. Also, don't call it a jalapeno bottle cap because that's like a cutesy name for, you know, like a artisan fare. But at Denny's, like, it might be an actual bottle cap. I don't know. And so, you know,
yeah,
we had that.
I agree with Allison, though. X sauce, I'd want to know the ingredients of that.
What exactly
it used to be
that
sauce.
Is.
It's no longer sauce.
It'd be great if they were like, oh, I don't know, they just tell us to do whatever we want.
It's X sauce from some kind of bug.
Yeah, each Denny's X sauce is different.
It's short for excess. It's just whatever we have lying around, and we just sort of mix it up.
It says X sauce? Yeah, no, it's excess.
It's got a little Caesar in there, some mayo.
I think ranch?
Yeah, a little ranch.
Let me check.
I think some of the ketchup didn't make it into the bottle.
Catch of the day.
Let's be real. It's like 40% canola.
You know that part of the tuna that you dump out before you mix it up with the mayo? It's got that in there.
It's the mayo skin.
It's X sauce. It's a former sauce.
Yeah.
It has ceased to be a
it's
sauce.
It used to be sauce.
Yeah, it used to be sauce.
EX.
Yeah.
X sauce.
So we had that. Let's see. We had...
I'm a little... So the promotion... It's just a licensing thing. I'm just really confused on why Denny's is even... Is that drawing more people to Denny's to get...
Obviously, because they can just do a cross-branding, and it's so much synergy. Involved.
Well, although, whatever they paid, they just made 50 bucks off Vince and Matt Lee.
Yeah,
Ben, 50
you drastically 55. Underestimate the amount of love for novelty garbage that people want to shovel into their faces.
That's true.
Subway's doing it with Hunger Games.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's some sort of weird pork-shaped thing, or are they just putting, like, buffalo sauce and everything?
Is it just a loaf of bread? I actually watched the Hunger Games. Turns out not a lot of food.
Yeah, no, it's like legit like sandwiches that are called like they're all like fiery themed, so they're all like spicy.
Oh.
So like they're all like sriracha sandwiches.
The girl on fire, fire
yeah,
loaf.
It's
Lenny Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz rye. Lenny Kravitz eyeliner rye.
I was gonna say his gold eyeliner leaves nothing on the table.
I watched Jurassic Park last night and I had this distinct memory of like the McDonald's promo with, like, you know, the dinosaurs all over the cups and stuff.
Yeah, with all the whatever that the tiger pattern they had on the trucks that they put on the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I remember thinking, like, you know, there wasn't even any, at least this is like new food. There was no new food. It was just like, come get a Big Mac. And
well,
it's in a Jurassic Park container.
Which makes more sense.
As a kid, I was always a sucker for the glasses, like the Star Wars glasses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those
yeah.
were really, but they never changed. You never had like a lightsaber.
Those are useful.
McNugget. It's true. Like, yeah, you could use a glass. Vince just got his insides torn up.
Those are definitely like peeing something on a car trip cups. Those are like the promotional.
My parents actually pulled over and let me go in a toilet.
Well, you know, I'm just meaning if you're with your friends, you know, you have fun.
You need some more X sauce.
So, all right, so we had that. I had a Bard's pumpkin pie milkshake, which I'm reading on the...
Shakespeare?
You think. Yeah, he actually wrote Lord of the Rings. Did you not know this?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Shakespeare wrote a sonnet about how to make a pumpkin pie milkshake.
Which I'm reading on the website now has 112 grams of sugar, which
is not
very many.
You can feel if you put 105 grams in your hand, you would know how much that was.
Yeah, so I drank that. I drank half of that. I drank the Bowman's Brew pumpkin coffee, which has like just a lot of whipped cream and pumpkin syrup on top. That has 33 grams of sugar. And I also had...
They should have petitioned themselves to not put the nutritional info for the Hobbit menu.
And I also had at least half of the Radagast Red Velvet Pancake Pups, which is...
Oh, my God.
If you want to know what that is, they take pancake batter that's red velvet, and then they dot it with frosting, and then they deep fry it into a croquette. And then that comes with a frosting and a syrup dipping sauce.
Different. It's
oh
like it's
God.
Like buffalo wings where you get buffalo wing sauce and ranch.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know they don't dump it because they don't want it to get soggy.
It's like dipping a buffalo wing into more buffalo batter.
Yeah.
So that has 47 grams of sugar. So I ate all three of those things.
Oh, no wonder you feel so good.
What's a Radagast?
I did. Radagast, I think, is that wizard with the poop on his face, isn't it?
Which is a good idea to put on a menu.
Yeah. Well, there was one. Radagast the Brown, wasn't it?
You didn't.
I'm not even making that up. That's his actual name. And he comes out and he's got all these birds and it's like there's some birds that live in his hat, so he has bird poop on his face.
No.
Again, like I said a million times, Peter Jackson missed his true calling as the designer of like fake vomit and stuff because he has no skill for actually shooting an action sequence or making an interesting movie, but everything in the movie just looks like fake vomit.
It's a very brown series.
It's true love.
It's like, here's a guy with a goiter. Oh, here's a guy with poop on his face. Oh, look, this guy's got a fish.
Where? So wait, he would do well like I remember my grandmother got me a subscription when I was really young to Boys Life magazine,
mm-hmm.
and it was really boring. It was terrible. I think it's for Boy Scouts, right?
Wasn't that the what was the one with the good kid and the bad kid?
Goofus and Gallant. That was Highlights for Children, which my grandmother also got me a subscription to.
Hey, that had lots of good puzzles.
Another terrible magazine.
Yeah, it was okay. I liked the Hunt ones where you like
the Hunt and Goofus, you know, and
Goofus and Gallant. Yeah.
Goofus is a dick.
Right. One of my favorite Beavis and Butthead moments ever is when they're in line or they're in the waiting room at the dentist and Beavis is reading Highlights from magazine. He goes, Goofus rules. That almost killed me. But Boys Life magazine was so boring, but it had the coolest shit to like send away. Like, you know, the old 50s style thing is like X-ray specs, you know, like
Dakota
shit like
rings
that.
And stuff.
Drink your Ovaltine. What?
Right. Yeah. That kind of shit. And there was like knives. It was like, there was like this big Rambo knife for $5. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I'm going to save up and get that. But anyway,
I'm going to stab so much stuff.
Right. There's a compass in the bottom. I'm going to look where I'm going and stab something in that direction.
I'm going to stab the fuck out of North.
Yeah. But anyway, I always think about like, there was also like fake shit. It's like, impress your friends. And, you know, it's like someone like stepping in it, and then there's like two little heads peeking out from behind a bush with like dotted lines going from their eye to the poop. You know?
So, yeah, for them, when they saw it and they laid eyes on it, like RoboCop, where they. Yeah.
Peter Jackson could have designed the shit you order.
I drank a lot this weekend. I'm not very particular.
Peter Jackson could have designed the shit that you order from the back of Boys Life magazine.
Yeah, for sure. That's his true calling.
Is that publication still around?
Yeah, Brendan still subscribes.
Know. Yeah.
Now it's more of like a porn mag
for Sandusky?
Ex-baseball coach. Oh, I got a story. We'll get to that later. But
Did they had to bring out a separate menu, a full separate Hobbit menu?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, it's.
Is it within the normal menu?
No, it's a separate menu. It's not like full. It's not as big as the regular menu.
It's
obviously.
Like a two pager.
Yeah, it's a two pager
pamphlet.
Yeah, she knows. Allison.
She used to sell
no shitty menus.
She's been to Denny's.
She used to sell Hobbit
Plenty.
Food.
Yeah.
She knows Hobbit food. Not a huge menu. The normal Denny's menu really big.
It's half size.
Hobbit menu.
Limited edition. Yeah.
Yeah. They're smaller people.
I asked if I could eat barefoot, and they were like, no.
All right. So what happened after you ate enough sugar to become diabetic?
So Matt Lieb actually had to shit during the meal. That's a true story. So we left, and you know, I'm filming clips of this. Hopefully I'll put some up tomorrow.
It killed me. It's all – you can't even really play it now because it's all
video.
Visual. But Matt has the pups. And they're too hot. He either doesn't realize that they're super hot or the fried encasing has turned them into molten lava.
Oh, my God.
He, like, almost dies.
So he takes a shit during the middle of the meal. We leave, and then we're, like, sort of texting each other. I'm like, God, I have, like, a headache, and my ass feels weird, and I'm just all fucked up. And I think we ate at, like, 4 o'clock, and I was going to go to the gym at 6:30 to try and work some of that, you know, 300 grams
literally
of sugar off.
Work it out.
Yeah. And I'm riding my bike there, and before I even leave, I'm like, I had to like lay down on the couch and I felt really bad. And then I get on my bike to ride my bike to the gym, and my heart's like pounding just from going like 2 blocks. And I'm like, I don't want to go to jiu-jitsu class and just put my heart through the paces right after I've just, you know, pumped it full of sugar and disgusting stuff and then have to have a heart attack at the gym. And, you know, on my epitaph, it's going to be like he was killed by the Hobbit menu.
Do you think it's because it's Hobbit food and you're a human?
I would say more jujitsu.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true. Well, who would the media blame?
That would be a tough call.
Yeah.
It's funny how your body becomes less tolerant of that kind of shit as you get older.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember, so where I grew up, Denny's was like the only thing that was open past, I don't know, 8 o'clock. So Denny's was like this social center, and you would always go party, and then you'd meet up with people at Denny's, and you would invariably like eat, you know, a Moons Over My Hammy or something. And that happened like every weekend. And then a few years ago, there's actually a Denny's near my office, and a coworker and I thought it would be like funny, like, oh yeah, let's just like old times, I go to Denny's and I went and I wanted to fucking die.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Denny's. Well, first of all, two things.
You really do feel like you're about to die.
Yeah.
Two things. First of all, you can't eat it sober because the alcohol kills all the toxins in the Denny's food. Right. That's sort of...
You gotta have some booze in your mouth when you're chewing.
Yeah, it kills the exhaust.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys realize, like, families go to Denny's, like, during the day,
by
like,
accident.
Graduation celebrations.
Yeah. Like, well, here's the problem. Like, the second problem is that you look at the menu, and the stuff on the menu looks really good. The pictures that they got on there, oh, this looks delicious. And then the food comes out, and it's like, you know.
That's not...
You know what? You know what's the sadly ironic part is that you could actually eat the pamphlet that has the pictures in it, and it would have more nutrition and flavor than the actual food they bring out.
Yeah, the pictures do look very tantalizing.
Yeah, they got the pot roast with, like, little gravy bits in there. Oh, this looks so good. Yeah.
I think you guys are hating
on Denny's
so much.
The salt kills me.
Could be. I'm being honest about how bad I felt afterwards. Granted,
I could see that.
I did eat a lot of sugar.
You ate a metric ton of sugar.
A lot of sugar. Yeah.
I like that you ordered two sugary drinks.
Well, I mean, I had to test both the coffee and
wait,
the
so what did Matt Lieb get? What was his entree?
He had the Hobbit Hole breakfast. We actually split the Smaug's Fireburger and the Hobbit Hole breakfast.
Okay.
Who comes in the Hobbit Hole? Hobbit Hole breakfast might want to be renamed.
Yeah. The Hobbit Hole breakfast. Two eggs fried right into the center of grilled cheddar bun halves.
Served
with two slices of bacon and crispy hash browns with melted shredded cheddar cheese and bacon. So the hash browns
wrapped
with cheddar
in a pizza.
served in a punch bowl. The hash browns covered in bacon and cheese are pretty good, but the eggs fried into a cheddar bun. You're going to need more than one egg to go with that bun because it's like a big hamburger bun with just like one egg fried in there.
Also, that's like seems like it'd be super dry because eggs aren't exactly moistening up the cheddar bun.
It was very dry. And hold on to your seats. You're probably not going to believe this. But the yolks, you know, they're fried right through.
Nothing worse than that.
Yeah.
Bummer. That's a crime. That's a cooking crime.
Dude, did you ever see there was a Kitchen Nightmares where Gordon Ramsay flipped his shit about someone serving an egg with a broken yolk?
That's like a big
thing.
That is,
I mean, that is a faux pas.
It's the customer's pleasure. It's the customer's pleasure to break that yolk.
I mean,
it's true.
Man's got a point.
Yes. I mean, he wasn't wrong. It was just funny to see.
I had to stop going to, what is it, O'Reilly's or O'Neill's? What's the one that's across? It's one,
in
on
North
Green.
East?
Yeah,
O'Reilly's,
it's on Green on the other side of Columbus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to stop
O'Reilly's
going
Holy
there. Because they have a really awesome breakfast menu, but like the cooks just can't cook it at all. So you get something with poached eggs, and it's like cooked through, and you're like... And there's not many things I'll send back, but if I get poached eggs and the eggs are like hard-boiled, I'm like, eh.
Right.
This is kind of a bummer. So I sent it back. And, like, on the third time, I was like, all right, I'll just eat it, I guess, because you guys can't poach an egg.
Yeah.
So I enjoy
that the Hobbit menu is just a bunch of the friediest, fattiest stuff that's ever been created.
It's a lot of calories to walk across Middle Earth.
That's true. To go battle Sauron.
It's elevensies, you know? It's sort of a morning dessert with more bacon.
I feel like it'd be like the coolest way for like a 14-year-old nerd to like commit suicide.
Just eat too much Hobbit food.
Yeah.
So, oh man, he just kept eating until his Hobbit hole exploded out on the table. It's fucking disgusting. I've never seen anything like it in my 16 years on the force.
Wait, so
saw this once in Middle Earth, John.
How did Matt Lieb react to all of it?
I mean, the same as
with
me.
Poop.
Yeah, he just texted me about 10 times about trying not to poop himself.
Nice. Oh my god!
Yeah.
So you guys suffered
the desolation of Smaug.
Exactly.
You guys suffered for both science and art.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and for Peter Jackson.
Well, he got a residual.
I dedicated it to him.
He got some money.
Yeah.
From that, he gets the whole tip.
If Matt pooped himself on the street, like, you could have spun it like it was performance art, mm-hmm, maybe, mm-hmm, you know, some statement.
As I usually try to do.
Artists at work here, everybody. Don't worry.
So, Allison, you know, I've been wanting to talk to you about your Vice pieces, starting with the seminar about financial domination that you attended.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the most recent. Let's just go straight to that. We'll get to you guys' emails in a little bit, but...
I have a favorite email from this week.
That's we'll call that the tease.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that email then.
Okay, good.
Now they got to keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
That's
why you pay me the big bucks.
Go through my boring shit to get to your fabulous email.
You got to keep them hanging.
Yeah, financial domination. It's like a thing. It's like a BDSM thing where men who just are really into being dominated by women.
Financially.
Well, and otherwise.
Okay.
It's like financial domination is what they tack on top of the like weird, like not weird, on top of the kink things they already got going
on. So it's people dressed up in bondage stuff telling them that they don't have enough money?
No. It's like they give their money to these random women who they don't even know. And, like, a lot of times, like, the dominatrix will, like, control his finances. Mm-hmm. She'll, like, have his bank account number.
She's his money slave or something.
Yeah, like, he's called, like, the pig or the wallet. And she's, like, the princess. And they are on the phone. And usually they want to also get, like, they want, you know, to be demeaned and called.
This is all over the phone or in person?
It can be the phone, email. It can be in person.
Oh, it's more of a whole, like, genre of stuff.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that you could do. I mean, the lady that taught us the class says, like, she's got people, like, in Europe that just, like, all she has to do is send one email that's just, like, fuck you, give me your money. And then they're like, yes, here. And they just, like, give her presents. She has, like, an Amazon wish list and, like, random dudes just give it to her. And she just has, like, this awesome life where
that's
these
kind of
slaves do whatever she wants.
Well, that's kind of a porn offshoot now where they have Amazon wish lists, like the porn stars.
Really?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you did another thing about that, didn't you?
I've been out of the...
Or just about... I don't remember.
Wait, so you went to a seminar that taught you...
How to do it.
How to find these guys that will just shower you with internet money?
Like, she gave a lot of, like, insight. Like, I don't know. Like, I usually try to, like, be the type of person that's, like, totally down to take a guy's money, you know?
I mean, how does this work? Am I supposed to start giving you money?
It's like you're supposed to, like, find the guy, like, supposed to find you. Like, you can do it on Twitter, like, hashtags and stuff.
Hashtag,
like,
give me your money.
Like, hashtag, like, pay princess, or, like, hashtag, like, you know.
There's code words,
wallet,
of course.
Or something. Yeah. There's, like, code words, and, like, you can advertise yourself in, like, different sites. But, like, the whole thing is, like, you have this attitude where you're, like, hating on these guys, and then they are supposed to, like, give you whatever, and you're supposed to,
you're,
like...
supposed to degrade them monetarily or something.
Talk about how small their penis is, like, you know, whatever.
Such a fucking idiot. Now give me your money.
Yeah, but she was, like, the way she was talking about it, like, she was so blunt. She was just straight up like, yeah, I mean, most of these guys, like, you know, they're just, like... They kind of feel they're just shitty and they, like, can't get real women. And I was like, damn, like, that's rough. Like, I was just hoping it'd be, like, hella rich dudes that are a little, like, you know, messed up in the head that, like, you know, really
you
just
feel better about that.
They have, like, just thousands of dollars they want to waste. But it's really like, yeah, a lot of them are divorced and, like, won't pay child support, but, like, will still give all their money to me. And I'm just like, okay.
Amazon wish list.
Yeah.
I can't fathom being that way. Like, I'm too sensitive.
You know, well, it,
like,
doesn't.
Hey, pussy, give me your money. And be like, what? Don't say that about me.
Oh, I just am too selfish. I'd be like, what? Why am I buying you shit?
That
I want to buy myself some Amazon wish list stuff.
Well, you know, financial domination is not for you.
It's, how do I opt out of this?
These guys are super into it. Like, at the end of the day, at first I was like, this is messed up, but it's like, it's not like they're not going to do it if you say no. Like, they're still going to find another person.
Yeah, they're just fulfilling someone else's wish list.
Yeah, exactly.
Might as well be your Amazon wish list.
Exactly. But I still have not done it yet.
Mm.
I'm thinking about it. I can barely afford rent this month.
How do you go? I mean,
desperate times.
So you just throw out a few hashtags? Like, do you have to set up a site?
I see Vince's wheels turning. Yeah. He's got a couple internet personas that may...
Vince, you could probably do it. Like, if you got, like, a stock image of, like, a random woman and, like, maybe Photoshop, like, a whip in her hand.
What kind of, you know, interaction is there? Because you could... you know, if you wanted to, probably pull a scam if you were just a Twitter or
just catfish the crap out of it.
Yeah, I think you totally could. It would last you a while.
Wouldn't they get extra pleasure out of being catfished?
Yeah. No, I mean, there was a...
Oh, you want me to cat dom?
Cat dom?
She cat dom fin bombed me with money, fake money scam.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's like the new type of money scam.
It's a CDFBM.
But there are legal issues that, like, a lot of dominatrix, like, women who do it, like, have run into where, like, they will, like, take a guy's license mm-hmm. and, like, photocopy it and, like, have all his information and, like, say, like, I'm going to blackmail you. And it's what the guy wants. Like, he wants to be blackmailed. He wants to be really...
I can't wrap my head around this.
He wants to be blackmailed. He wants, like, he wants a dom...
I want you to steal my fucking identity. Yeah.
But she can still get in trouble for it, even if he is, like, totally
even
down.
Even if he's consenting to have, like, his identity stolen, it's still not legal.
It's still not legal. So, yeah, you can run into a lot of legal
issues.
So,
ladies, be careful.
Okay, now I want to... Even better question, because like I went to the Clown College auditions about a month ago, and I think the most interesting part about that was the people who showed up to Clown College auditions. So who were the people that showed up to the financial domination seminar?
It wasn't that exciting. It was like eight people. Like it was just eight of us, and like
so you guys have cornered the market. You ladies have cornered the market. Yeah. Not a lot of competition.
Well. I guess. I don't know.
Unless you're late to the game.
I might be. I think it's like we're late to the game.
Uh-oh.
You know, like I
so
think
people have been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And you're just playing
It's
catch
starting
up.
Just now to get big.
Mm. It's like a pyramid scheme.
Kind of.
It's like Avon.
Get it's like super early. Trendy right now. It's like okay. The fetish to have or yeah. whatever.
It's the artisanal. Yeah. The artisanal fetish.
It's the exactly. Kale salad of internet.
Yeah, sriracha.
Bradley Cooper gave away millions last year.
No, there was only one interesting lady who was like this like older, like I guess early 50s blonde lady who was like super giggly and really annoying. And she was talking about how like all her clients are these guys that are like into infantilism. Mm-hmm. And she's
so
like
she
a
was
mommy.
Already a dom, a dominatrix.
Already
and she's
a dominatrix.
To get into financial. And
she wants to do financial
is
domination.
Like dressing up in diapers and do you actually
yeah,
like, poop
that's
your pants
the one where
stuff?
They like want like
do you poop?
I think that is a thing that
yeah.
happens.
Yeah. Poop your pants.
Almost,
and,
yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and they get fed and wiped.
Vince,
yeah,
that would have been good at Denny's.
Yeah, just had a mommy there. Pay her like $150 an hour.
Poopy.
Yeah, and she was like, well, some guy bought me a Mercedes, so I kind of want to get more into this. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, can see why that would be...
change a couple poopy diapers, get a new Mercedes. It's not a bad trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand it.
It's.
I understand it happens.
Right.
And I understand that guys get some sort of pleasure out of it. But yeah, just I can't.
Well, a lot of like people in the kink community or whatever, like they say it's like a sexual orientation, like the way you don't choose to be gay. You know, you kind of like you don't choose.
I didn't
to...
choose to want a girl to take my money. I mean, that's probably true, but
yeah, I would. Think...
I don't know how much I believe it, but
well, I could see that. It's
well,
not
that necessarily... seems like a pretty deep rooted, you know, need. So
there's something else.
I
mean, going
I
on.
Buy that. You know, they didn't choose it. Then
yeah,
like,
I understand.
You know, this is something I
didn't mean... land on quicksand porn.
Yeah.
Quicksand porn. Right. Right.
I believe you sink, you don't land. You simply surrender to it.
Right, right.
I mean, the lady that ran it, the whole dungeon or whatever, said that she was having like
she's a dungeon mistress.
Yeah, the dungeon master.
Yeah. Dungeon is just the name of her bank account, like on her in her folders. On
she
her
keeps all her notes on graph paper.
Well, she was saying that she's been having like BDSM like fantasies since she was like four.
Mm.
Yeah,
they all say shit like that, and I never know if they're
all right.
It.
So here's what's garbage about that. Like, yeah. I have no doubt that this is. Yeah. This is absolutely a wiring that is not standard, but you know, is perfectly valid, right? The eroticism is tied to power structures or whatever. But like shit that goes along with BDSM is entirely culturally produced. It's the same thing with all the furry kids that identify with mythological creatures. It's like those things are not part of your base setup.
Yeah,
those are learned behaviors that you're attaching your base setup to, and so like it might be 50-50, but it is not 100%. Like I was born a space dragon.
Also, who the can you remember a fantasy that you had when you were four?
I can't remember last week. Like, yeah. I don't.
I can't remember shit about being four.
You don't remember, like, wanting some woman to steal your identity? Mom!
Yeah,
all these bank accounts are in my name. I want you to hack into them.
And then call me a fag.
I don't even know what that is. I like to be called it, though. Who created me this way? So Matt Lieb, last time he was on here, he you know, he dropped a story on us about getting choked out in a minivan and having a girl spit in his face.
I like that.
Nice. It was a good one.
And I know you, do a lot of online dating.
Great transition.
So have you ever choked somebody and spit in their face?
Do you have any bad? I know you got to have some nightmare.
Oh, is that an online date that happened?
No.
No, that was a stage.
That was a comedian groupie, I think.
No, that was someone that he said he's like liked forever. Remember? He's like, she could do anything. Maybe.
No, I thought she.
No, I don't know.
She saw. Facebook friended him after a show.
Yeah. What do you call a comedian groupie? Like you call like a
chuckle
sport?
Fucker.
Chuckle fucker.
Nice. Yeah. I was gonna say because you call like
you both knew that. Yeah. That's a standard thing.
Because yeah. You call like a an athlete groupie like a jersey chaser or whatever. Yeah.
I think fucker. I think we collectively could have done better than a chuckle fucker, but that seems
that's the only one I've really heard.
That's all I've heard too.
Or just like a sad person. An idiot. That's what we call.
Yeah. Whatever the opposite. Of the lady who fleeces people for their money, it's like the diametric opposite. Yeah.
I've been having fantasies about getting one good laugh off since I was four.
Yeah. I've had fantasies about fucking an unemployed guy for a long time.
Oh, I want my couch. Someone fill my couch. Fill my couch. Oh, it's so good. Pull it out.
Oh, just self-load all over me.
Wear those sweatpants.
I do have a one weird story, I guess.
Sweet. You want me to get it started with an email we got, or do you want to just want to jump right into it?
No, we can do the email.
All right.
It's not that exciting.
Well, no, I just wanted to spark your imagination.
It jumped to the top of mine, so it must, it's somewhere rattling around in there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, should I just say it in a sentence?
Yeah. No, just say it. Just, I mean, you can.
Or do the email.
You can put
first.
You can light the candles and do it slow, however you want to. Whatever.
Let's do the email first.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not that great email. Hey, Frogcasters.
This isn't Brendan's favorite
one. No. This was just the one that related to.
Are we still
dating
leading
stories.
Up to that one?
Yeah,
we might even save it.
It's the greatest email of all time.
Yeah. We might even save it for next week,
guys. We may tease it out to next week, but I don't know. I'm looking at my watch. So I don't know if I have enough time, but it is the greatest email of all
time.
That reminds me. Do you remember when Joe King Politico said he was going to have the best tweet ever, and he did it for like 4 days?
The GOT.
And then it was just something about like Kim Kardashian, and everyone got so pissed at him.
It was a fake retweet of Kim Kardashian. Kardashian saying sometimes she likes to take a dump and mush it in her pussy.
That's like, a pretty good tweet.
But for four days, he kept saying, I'll have the greatest tweet ever.
He kept retweeting people who were like, come on, dog, I'm waiting for this greatest tweet ever.
He'd do stuff like, it's not ready, I have to wait till tomorrow.
The best tweet he ever did was the fake retweet of Beyonce that was, hey, I'm just sitting here jacking off to these Pee Wee football end zone dance videos.
All right. Hey, Frogcasters. So I recently went on a date, and pretty much the first thing this guy asked me was if I want kids. This was followed by, I just want you to feel safe with me, and I fall in love in the first 7 minutes of meeting someone. Have you guys had instances where somebody overshared or asked personal questions way too soon? Had a memorable, I've made a huge mistake going out with this person moment? Marissa. Oh, he also made a Nazi salute to illustrate his point that an open palm is a body language symbol for strength. It was terrible.
Wow, that guy's a winner.
Yeah.
I don't know. He seems like a cool guy.
He's open with his feelings.
And his palms.
So wait, was the question marry or marry immediately?
Yeah. Yeah, I think those were the two options.
The only I never had one that was that bad right away, but I had this one date when I was doing online dating where we went to dinner. It was a first date, and it was like oh, yeah, let's go watch a movie because we were at dinner like near my apartment. So we went back to my apartment and we like watched a movie. And
that was code for let's fuck.
I realized right as we got back to my apartment that this girl's like shit faced, like so drunk. And
you're like, all right.
Yeah, no, it was so bad that I was like, this needs to just like end right now. Like, this is bad. And so I think I like went and like put stuff down in the other room and I like came back and she was like standing in my room with no pants on, but like still had her shirt on.
Oh, Donald ducking.
Yeah, she was Donald ducking it.
I respect that.
And I was like, hey, you should leave. You know? And and because I mean, it was just like she was like incoherent. Like because when we walked in, she like said something like didn't make any sense. It sounded like the kind of sentence you say when you wake up and you're still kind of dreaming.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, you know, I think you should go and like that kind of thing. She's like, okay. And so she left and then,
put her pants on or no?
She put her pants on.
I'm going to leave this here.
Well,
she stuffed them in her purse and just put it over her shoulder.
Yeah. So she put her pants on and left.
Fine.
And then I went to bed. I wake up and this is probably midnight. I go to bed and I wake up in the morning, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock. And there's a bunch of texts on my phone. Like, where are you? Like, I'm still in your building. And, like, all the texts are, like, 3 a.m. And I text her back, like, okay, are you okay? And, like, she doesn't text me back, like, at all. And I'm like, oh, this is really bad. And then, like, I'm like, did this girl, like, die? Like, what happened? And then I realize I'm, like, cleaning up my room and, like, her underwear's on the ground. So I, like, had this whole vision of, like, the police coming to my apartment and being like, you're the last person she was seen with. Oh, what's her underwear doing here? Why don't you come with us? You know, like that whole
thing. Check for semen.
Yeah, exactly. And then I ended up like emailing her on it was Match. I emailed her on Match. She's like, oh, sorry, I got really drunk. And like, then I lost my phone and like all this stuff. I was like, Jesus, you're like a mess.
Wandered around your building.
You know, water, like got stuck in your building.
Figure out how to get out.
For hours at a time. Like, yeah. You don't.
For several hours.
Your building's not 20 blocks long.
Yeah. It was weird. It wasn't like we were like doing shots at dinner either. We like had some sake. We like got sushi and had some.
She was a lightweight.
I guess she was a lightweight.
See, that's a problem.
Or she showed up drunk.
Maybe she did.
Yeah,
maybe she's a raging alcoholic.
You must have had a really like intimidating profile.
Yeah, that's right.
She was like, I got a pre-game for this.
Probably was
tailgate. She tailgated for the Brendan Day.
She's like, I'm gonna get wasted to fleece this guy for all his money.
I've never had like a nightmare date, but I definitely stopped talking to a girl on online dating because she kept asking me to explain what was so great about Magic Mike. And I was like, girl, if you don't know, this just ain't going to work out. Like, I don't think this is something that needs to be explained. It's pretty self-explanatory.
I thought all women loved that movie, no?
I think the secret is that's actually more of a guy movie. That sort of billed itself as a girl movie.
I didn't hate it. But like,
Sue Tate's is such a good dancer, though.
I thought it would be. I wanted it to be way more campy. Like, I want it to be more like.
Yeah, it ended up being like a very sincere movie.
Yeah,
it's too
a little
serious.
Too real. You know,
I was just got super that. Real. Sue Tate's was like, come on, I'm not what I do.
It's just temporary until I make my tables.
I want to make tables. So I have this theory that online dating is sort of a weird. It sets up a weird social interaction because, like, in your normal life, when you meet someone, there's like this chemistry and a spark, and then you start talking to that person, and then, you know, it goes from there. Whereas online dating, you go somewhere and meet someone that you don't know if that exists, and then you just sort of sit there, like, picking apart each other. Like, you sort of sit there, like, quantifying each other's qualities sort of thing instead of – because you don't know – because you've already jumped past that part where you don't really know if there was like that.
All you know is if they like Magic Mike or not.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm way pickier online.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Than I am in real life. Like way pickier to the point where it's just like, even if you message me, I'm like immediately, yeah.
Well, you have to aim like 3 levels above whatever you think. I mean, you have to do like online dating math where it's like this chick has to look amazing in a profile because I know it's going to be like 4 notches below that when we actually meet. And like, however clever that
That's
person
not
is.
True.
Yeah, it is. Come on.
No, it's not.
It kind of is. I'm sure that's true for guys too. You're probably like, all right, well, this guy's gonna be at least like 3 inches shorter than he says he is,
and 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah,
I purposely put like a bad photo. I put like two good photos and two bad photos. Mm-hmm. On purpose, like they know what's
strategy.
Up. They know what's happening.
Yeah, they get a range.
Yeah.
So what's
your
story?
Look like this, or maybe she looks like this. I'm just going for that middle ground.
What's my story? Yeah. I did shrooms on a first date, on a blind date.
What?
Okay, Cupid date.
That is bold.
By yourself or you both?
No, both of us. Oh, it was really
okay.
Dumb.
But you showed up.
Did you like you like shove him in your face in the bathroom? Like,
yeah. No, I gotta be fucked up.
I need to take the edge off.
Hey, hey, hey! This is going really bad, but I need to touch your face.
No,
I like you, but your face is melting.
Look at my fucking shoe.
You've just got about the texture of your hair. It's beautiful.
So is this pre-planned? Like, hey, we're going to meet and then do shrooms?
No, it was. Wow. Well, okay. I was in college.
Had a rain stick in my purse.
So I was going to go all out.
Look, I have a knife with a compass on it. I'm invincible.
It was really dumb. It was probably like the dumbest thing I've ever done. I was in college and this guy like lived in San Francisco. I was up in Davis. And I went to San Francisco. We met up at Dolores Park and he was just like, oh, I have some shrooms. Like, you want some? And I was like, sure. Because like before this, I'd only done shrooms once and it was like awesome. I was like, oh, this is my favorite drug.
Yeah.
But like I failed to realize like, oh, yeah, that was like with my best friends in my apartment, like playing Street Fighter for 6 hours. It wasn't like in public with a stranger.
It's
I guess
like
went off the internet.
Kitten sanctuary, you know, all my best friends.
There was a, we set up a nacho bar.
Yeah.
It was the sunniest day that had ever sunned.
It was perfect. And this was not with this guy. It was really bad. I was like tripping hard. And like this guy was like super into me. And I couldn't figure it out. I was like, he's going to rape and kill me probably the whole time. And I just freaked out too much. I had to have a friend call and pick me up from Davis, come to San Francisco.
Wow. While you're
here's where it gets weirder,
shrooms.
Though. Yeah, I was fucked up on shrooms. So was he. He was, like, chill. Like, he was having a great time. And he goes, can I go with you? So he wanted to come back to Davis with me. And, like, I mean, he's still hot. So I was like, okay.
So he did?
So, yeah, I was like, do you mind if my friend tags along? And my friend was, like, super pissed. She hated me. So it's, like, me and this dude that I just met. Going back to my place in Davis. And
which, for those of you who don't know, is about a two-hour drive.
It's like 2 hours.
Jesus, I didn't even...
From San Francisco to Davis, about roughly.
Yeah,
that.
And I'm
she
like...
She drove 4 hours round trip.
I'm super fucked up. And we watched some movie on Netflix. What was it? It was the one with that, like their like time... Is it? I think it's an Aronofsky one.
Oh, The Fountain?
Fountain. The Fountain. He really wanted to watch. He was like, we've got to watch The Fountain.
That is a super shroomy movie.
Yeah. So we just watched The Fountain and then
what is a
two-hour
car ride on shrooms like?
It sucked.
Yeah.
It was bad.
You just like,
how does one get home from Davis when they don't have a car?
I was going to take the train.
No. Oh, him, though.
Oh, him? Oh, he took the train.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and I had to pay for it.
Nice.
I basically, it was like the weirdest.
Did you see each other again after that?
Public transportation.
No, he emailed me
shrooms.
A bunch, though. Yeah, it was bad. Whatever.
I met some kids that were lost on shrooms in the Soma.
You were
at a bus stop waiting for my bus home. And they're like, how do we get to the Redwoods? And then his friend leans over. He's like, we're on shrooms. Can you help us? And I was like, yeah, but you guys are really far from the Redwoods. Like, they're trying to get to Marin.
Yeah.
I was like, you got a four-hour trek that is full of crazy, crazy homeless people. You are going to have a rough time on these buses, kids. Godspeed.
Yeah.
I don't get the appeal of nature. Like, I don't I don't understand it. I don't
In
I
general
don't
or on shrooms?
Especially on drugs. Like, people feel like, oh, I'm on drugs. I gotta, like, roll in grass and, like, look at clouds and shit.
Something that you're born with? You don't choose that.
I will say this. That's all true. The, like, camping and stuff seems like a very, like, rich city person thing. Because having grown up in the country, I'm like, you know, I've seen that shit. I don't need to go pitch a tent out in the woods.
I'm sure there's a lot of comedians that have... riffed on some sort of thing where it's like only rich people go out.
Well, it's definitely all pretty true that rich people like camping more than anybody
white
else.
People be all like this.
Yeah. It is definitely a white people thing to go sleep on the ground when you have a perfectly good bed at home.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to go like put up a nylon thing and sleep in it on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we're poor for a day. Kooky.
Right, we're slumming it.
We're like sort of homeless, but we like have all the food we can eat.
I almost caught a fish.
Yeah, we came prepared for our homelessness.
The only time I did shrooms, I was like out in nature, and that's what I would want to do again. I wouldn't.
Really?
I just wouldn't want to be around a lot of people.
Yeah.
Also, the public transportation thing seems impossible.
Yeah, public transportation is terrifying when you're completely stone cold.
So, the hardest part about
it must feel when you're on mushrooms.
Oh god, the hardest part about being stoned or on mushrooms is like the concept of currency. Like every time I have to pay for something when I'm really high, I'm like, what the fuck? Like I can give you this piece of paper. What?
The concept of currency.
Yeah. And you're like handing it over, and you're just
bring
like
it back down to what you need to get done in the next 5 minutes. It's all very much still in the abstract. Where you're like, we went off the gold standard.
Like, what does this even mean? And then like I can even only imagine trying to read like a public transportation map and then hand $2 and get like
and
a
then
transfer.
You deal with time on one axis and location on the other. Completely impossible.
Oh yeah, very difficult task.
I hate buses enough. I wouldn't want to do it while I'm super high.
No,
that would be terrible.
I did mushrooms once and it was at a sex show in Amsterdam.
Oh man,
that sounds perfect.
That was pretty intense.
Turned into animals.
Yeah, I'll just say that the funniest thing about mushrooms, the way I describe it, is it's kind of like you're just a kid seeing everything for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I remember thinking, well, there's like a pretty good looking woman getting railed right now, like 5 feet from my face, which I know I should be interested in, but like, dude, my fucking hand is blowing my mind right now. Yeah. I just really want to stare at my hands for a while.
I remember being fucked up on shrooms once and like seeing a bunch of bird shit on the sidewalk and just being like, this is like a fucking Pollock painting. Yeah. I thought it was like the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And I was just like, hey, you guys, look at all this bird shit. And nobody else was feeling it.
They were staring at their hands.
Yeah. I always assume that that's the way dogs must experience smells. Like when, because they're all smelling each other's asses. And then like they're so fascinated. Like when they smell a fart or something, I figure that just must be... I mean, it must be so complex and like this
a lot of
fine art.
Lot of notes to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a laser show
earthy
or something.
Undertones.
They're like, whoa, dude, smell this shit.
So Brendan always farts right near his dog so they can get a,
tasty waft.
They give you so much joy, mm-hmm. and all you do is you give them back some smells.
It's the least I can do in return.
This girl was telling me about a sex show in Thailand that she was at, where the performer put a bottle of Diet Coke in her vagina and then like poured it all in there and then poured it back out like into a cup, and then some Australian dude drank it.
Nice.
Oh. Vagina Coke?
Yeah.
That's that is the best way to get herpes.
Yeah.
From a Thai? No, you're not supposed to drink it.
No. Really, you're really not. I mean, it's way worse than swallowing the worm at the bottom of the tequila.
Yeah, because that hasn't been in anyone's vagina.
Yeah.
Well, you know the worm's like sterilized. It's been sitting in anesthetic for a while.
And it hasn't been in a stripper's pussy.
Oh, yeah, that too.
We got some good emails. I don't know about Brendan's. We got to tease that.
Well, hold on a second.
We got to tease that.
I was still giggling about Joe's tweet to Kim Kardashian.
The what?
I like to mush. Oh. Like to mush poop.
Yeah, I like to mush. He said I like to mush poopy.
that just screams yeast infection. Like, I don't know if he was thinking about that.
Sure, he was.
He's thorough, real thorough.
Yeah,
mushing poopy.
I was also thinking about that Vine he made where it was like he loves the gay rapper thing. Like he's really big on that. He loves like aggressively gay rappers. It was like
always the top though.
Yeah, it was like sucking niggas' dicks till my lungs collapse.
Fucking dudes' dicks till my butt prolapse.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, it's a perfect vine because it just, that two lines keep going over and over and over.
Yeah.
You got to time that just right.
I was sucking dude's dicks till my lungs collapse. Fucking dude's dicks till my hands collapse.
Joe. Mm. Well, we got a bunch of emails. We can get to another one.
Well, we don't want to do Ben's Cancer Corner.
Oh, you want to get into the corner?
Well, I mean, you've seen at least like 10 movies in the last.
I have watched a lot of movies.
You saw Skyfall the other day. Yeah, I could hear it, and I was actually getting bored through the wall. That's how fucking boring that
is. Did you see it?
So yeah, Skyfall is the most powerful anesthesia.
I almost watched it last night. Is it really boring?
I mean, it's super dull. I had like three drinks when I saw it with Justin, and we both fell asleep, and his girlfriend was like, or his wife now was not pleased.
We were like, God damn,
that was boring.
So the antagonist, Javier Bardem, who's sort of cool,
he was the only good part.
He was good in it.
But yeah. The whole, are you going to see it?
Nah.
I mean, there's nothing big that he's trying to do. Like, his whole thing is to get back at Judi Dench. And that seems like
he can hack everything.
Yeah.
But even like, this brick.
Oh, great.
But all he wants to do is get back at her. And so that's the whole movie. Is like he can do anything and hack in anywhere, and he's taken over this little island where he lives, and then all he wants to do is kill Judi Dench.
And there's a lot of winking references to Bond stuff where,
yeah, like, he's,
like, ooh, this is the origin of so-and-so, and I'm like,
I don't care. He gets a martini, but he doesn't say shaken. They serve it to him, and he says perfect. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's all just so rote. There's just no oxygen in it.
And like at the end, the one chick is Moneypenny, and that's supposed to be really cool.
They did the whole MacGyver segment where they're like, oh, you have to go Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Predator for no reason at all.
And then James Bond rapes a chick. That was it. Basically, he just did you see it? Skyfall?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Well, he shows up on the boat, so he meets this chick. And then he shows up, and she's in the shower, and he just gets into the shower naked with her.
Oh, yeah.
It was aggressive.
But he's James Bond.
Yeah. Well,
you can pull off aggressive moves like that when you're seeing.
Yeah, I thought that was romantic.
Was great.
That's right, because it's James Bond.
I think we're at a point right now, though, where like if a naked guy showed up in my shower, I'd be like, all right.
Hey, just put your money.
Don't speak.
Give me your bank account number.
Casino Royale was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it.
So the problem.
I like that one a lot too.
This one just kept going on and on and on, and all Javier Bardem wanted to do was kill Judi Dench, and that was like he had a whole army to do it.
It was a lot of masturbatory set pieces for the cinematographer, where they're like, "Oh man, this design of this is going to be really cool," and you're like, "Okay, but I don't know why these people are fighting or why I would."
Yeah,
ever
suddenly
care.
He's driving a crane, and it's just like, "You just got off of your motorcycle. Why are you driving a crane now?" It's like, "Well, I got to keep doing it because it's going to make for a great scene in a second."
Yeah, based on your description, it sounds like they were aiming to make a really good supplemental material for the DVD.
Yeah, I think he was thinking
when I laid out this scene.
Well, then, like Vince said, there's this whole entire... So they go... Skyfall is James Bond's family estate. I didn't even know that. Did they say that? I had to read the Wikipedia.
It was on the gate or something.
So they don't have any weapons, so they have to do this entire...
Yeah, because he decided to go live in Scotland.
Yeah, like, why couldn't he just go to some fortress with a bunch of guns? Anyway,
yeah,
they had to set up...
The whole thing was weird.
So for half an hour, they're setting up, like, shotgun shells under the floorboards. And then, of course, the bad guys come in and step on every trap, and they kill the whole first round of guys based on Booby Trap Lane. It was
the whole thing was a little... Like, when thinking about it from a contextual perspective, it's sort of a weird obsession with improvised explosives that America's got.
Yeah, but it was a British director.
Huh? Those yeah. Well, I mean, it's aimed at us.
I know.
It was the number one grossing movie in England of all time.
Really?
Yeah, it was the best James Bond by far. It was like 1 point something billion, although... The global numbers continue to go up crazily.
People kept jerking it off too.
Yeah, everybody loved it.
Casino Royale was actually pretty good.
It was. I would definitely never watch it again. I'm not a huge James Bond guy to begin with, and it was on Netflix. That's why I watched it. Netflix streaming has a terrible selection of actual movies, and it was on there.
It struck me as what happens when you have a director that's a little too into the source material. where he's like, oh, man.
I just want this to be a love letter to the fans.
Yeah, this is like a fucking, like, everybody wants to see this random footnote of the canon explored, and you're like, eh, not really.
The Adele song was good, though.
Mm.
Yes, yes.
I'm a little sick of the British people sounding like black people thing. Like, are we not done with that? Like, that's like every pop
so
singer. It's like, oh, we found another British person that sounds like a black person from the
60s. Wait, who is it awesome. Other than Amy Winehouse?
Fucking Amy Winehouse. There's that James Blake dude who sounds exactly like Aaron Neville. Adele kind of sounds like a black soul singer.
I didn't know this made
like,
you so
name
angry.
One. Isn't Robin Thicke a British dude, too?
No. Oh, he's Canadian. That's Alan Thicke's son.
Yeah, I know. Oh, but I don't know. I thought he...
No, he's
wasn't
not.
He popular in England before he was here, though, or
maybe.
Something?
Maybe. That makes sense.
Well, he's another white guy that sounds like a black guy.
Just stretching it.
Does this replace Blockbuster as your number one most hated thing?
Yeah. No, it's not like I hate it. I'm just like, all right, I get it. I've seen that before a few times.
Yeah, it stopped sounding good. Yeah, I watched a bunch of movies. I watched Man of Steel today.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Another one. I wouldn't watch it again. The most, I would argue, potentially the most amount of city damage ever done in a movie.
There's a lot of city damage.
Like trillions of dollars of damage to Metropolis. And at least 100,000 people died.
I watched the Honest trailer from Screen Junkies that they just made of Man of Steel. I didn't think about this at the time, but his two dads are both Robin Hoods.
Hmm. Didn't he's realize
got,
that either.
He's got two Robin Hoods for dads.
Oh, man.
Kevin Costner and Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh.
Two really bad Robin Hoods.
Yeah, and then they should have shoehorned Carl. What's Carl Ells? Men in Tights?
Oh, Cary Elwes? Yeah. Carl.
Carl, whatever.
It's weird that I find him to be a more memorable Robin Hood than either of the other two.
He's got a very Robin Hoodish face.
Yeah, he should have played like the
regular
Robin Hood.
That movie was more memorable, too.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
That's what I'm saying.
It was on, I don't know, I watched a little bit of it. I always forget Chappelle's in there.
Yeah. It was like his breakout role.
But yeah, Man of Steel, I mean, worth watching. It was definitely infinitely better than the other, whatever, the Superman Returns.
Yeah.
It was at least,
terrible.
It was cool. It was very Zack Snyder, where he likes the zoom in on whatever.
Extra slow-mo.
Well, no, he'll zoom in and zoom out, even if it's a CGI'd thing. So there's like the spaceships that he zooms in on.
I appreciated it. I like that he was keeping it real, where he... That's his thing, and he'll do it on real shots, and so he has to make the CGI do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was just funny. It was very Zack Snyder. Although Michael Shannon is awesome, though, as General Zod.
I mean, I wish I didn't like the character, but I liked him. Like they felt like they needed to have this big showdown with General Zod.
Well, that but, and even that all dragged on too, where they're just punching each other in the
dragged
air.
Dragged way on.
Yeah.
The only thing that I actually like a nugget of. Of goodness in that whole scene was where he's like the trained military professional, so he figures out how to fly in like 5 minutes. I thought that was weirdly interesting to me, where they're pitting somebody who's like a native versus a more like it's like the university versus local sort of thing, right? Where you've got these people that are showing up all trained and shit versus someone who's lived there their whole lives.
Well, that's what he said. He's born to be a warrior.
Yeah, but then he still got beat up. I like that part. I thought that was interesting.
That was. Hmm.
Yeah, it was all right. I think the main problem is Superman as a main person sort of sucks.
I thought they sold me on the character, but then they just sort of dribbled it down their leg.
Superman's not really interesting as anything other than a metaphor.
Yeah, but they did it a little bit better where it wasn't just he's super. Except for Kryptonite, I did like how it was a little bit more than that. But him as a superhero is sort of dull because even his outfit's sort of dumb.
I just wanted him to go around saving random people and being all mysterious. Where like he was sort of like this rumor
with a beard,
yeah,
the rumor with the beard.
Like our oil platform was exploding, and then some random dude came and saved everyone
with no shirt.
Yeah,
I like how he did rip his shirt off to save the oil rig.
Oh, he's getting hot. It was hot there.
And then the other thing, how did he end up in the ice territory? That didn't make any sense.
He was just going around.
No, but no, like where the ship was, he just was like, hey, I'm a worker here now. Did he know there was a ship there? I was confused.
I thought he was just working in Alaska or something.
he just ended up. That was like a top secret territory, man.
I don't know. You can't ask me about movies that happened
more than 4 months ago
because I've seen like 600 freaking movies since then. Probably.
Dude, so many movies.
Yeah.
Do you see any screenings or anything?
Not this week.
Mm, that's it's tonight. What are you missing?
I watched half of. I'm missing. Baggage Claim, Best Man Holiday, something really bad.
What? So we saved you.
Yeah.
Were you going to go see something terrible on purpose?
No, you know what it was? Oh, no, that was last
Sausage
week.
County?
Oh, it was The Book Thief. I take it back. Sorry.
I don't know what that is.
It's about a guy that steals books.
Oh, very interesting.
It's set during the Holocaust, so, you know.
Oh, sweet.
So this guy steals the books to keep them from getting burned, and then they read them, and then they find hope. In a time of sadness.
Hope's a big theme these days. I watch The Hunger Games, too.
Not in time of cholera?
Well, another one where it was on Netflix, streaming. I don't know if... So my dad let me use his Netflix streaming account, and I spend most of the time scrolling through looking for things.
Oh, yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah.
All the promise of what could be.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'll go through this other genre. And it seems like they just, the only licensing they have is basically for sci-fi movies, like sci-fi channel movies.
Yeah.
It's like Sharknado 1 through 10. So Hunger Games is like, all right, I never really cared to see it, but it's on here, so... I watched that and Katniss Weatherby and all of them around.
Hey, Mitch, did you below me? And Pita Bread.
Pita Bread?
Pita Bread, who could do anything through baking. Like every power that he had, it's like, well, he works at a bakery.
Well, Pita Bread?
He's really strong. Oh, it's because he throws around sacks of flour.
That was.
Oh, he can disguise anything. Oh, because he decorates cakes at the bakery. It's like, what can't this guy do because of working at a fucking bakery?
How did he make his face look like a rock?
That was one of
that
the
was
dumbest
so weird.
Things
that was so
I've
weird.
Ever seen.
That didn't make any sense because
it was not a necessary scene either. It's no. Like he wasn't hiding from anyone. He's just doing that for
just hanging out.
That was
but like, where did he get all the rock makeup? But he didn't have anything. He got sorted in the leg, and then he just was like, all right, well, fine. I'm going to take my rock makeup and go hide.
Yeah. That was honestly one of the most poorly made, like, big-budget movies in a while. It's like they had this story that, I don't know, maybe the story's good, and this guy just makes this, like, shaky cam piece of shit that just makes, like, oblique references to the book the whole time. And you're like, I don't know what the fuck is happening right now.
It's $1 billion dollars. People
yeah,
loved it. So.
People like the book.
Well,
The Hobbit. It's the Hobbit menu of movies.
Some of the Twilights have been on HBO, and I watched a couple minutes of them, and they are terrible.
Yeah. They're entertainingly bad.
Those are, I don't know. I mean, I found them on, I tried.
You couldn't sit through it.
I couldn't even watch 5 minutes of it. Like, I turned it on, and the dude that turns into a wolf all the time, like, was pissed, and he threw a car, and then turned into a wolf. It's like, oh, and the CGI is terrible. Yeah. And it's like, I can't do it.
I don't know, man. I feel like that's one of the ones that's going to, like, last, because it's so bad.
The Twilight?
Yeah. She tackled that lion.
With her mouth.
Does she like the lion? Is that, is that what happened? Is that
I could
the third
see that
movie?
For
she
sure.
Eats lion?
Horror type thing.
Yeah,
totally.
I can see people doing like a a live riffing thing with Twilight 4. How many fucking Twilight movies did they make?
Like
six, I think.
There's five, right? Because they split the last.
No,
one.
There's three.
But they're splitting
there's
the last
six.
One.
There's totally six.
Really?
We have no idea.
I've only seen the first one.
Yeah.
Did you camp out for that? And then you're like, dude, this camping thing is so dumb.
I was like really fanatical about it for 3 weeks. And then I was just like, you know what? I've wasted a lot of years.
That's another one I can't quite wrap my head around is wait. I understand wanting to see a movie early, but like camping out to see something that I could just see the next day.
You can wait 6 hours and do this.
Yeah.
Like a regular person.
I could see the identical same. It'd be one thing if that's the only time they ever show the movie, period. It's like, all right, well, you know, I want to make sure I see it.
It's because that bitch Lindsay's probably going to ruin it for you because, you know, she's been camping
that's
out.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoil the whole thing.
Such for that one person who's like, I'm going to camp out a month in advance.
That's true.
Everyone's like, fine, now we have to. Yeah.
Lindsay always spoils it.
She does.
Fucking Lindsay, man.
Brendan, you got your email queued up?
Oh, yeah.
Best email ever?
The best. I don't know if they're ready yet.
I mean, I didn't want to put you on the spot. We did have a question for you, if you wanted to answer that.
Okay.
I supposed to cue that up, too.
five Twilights.
Five Twilights?
Five Twilights.
Oh, thank you.
Five.
That's what I said.
Five Twilights.
Well, because they split the last one into two.
Is that what it was?
Double the revenue, Allison. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here it is. Hey, Frat Crew, I have a question for Brendan. Did you ever have a concussion during your time playing football? If so, how did your coaches and medical staff handle it? And do you think they took proper precautions to protect you and other players?
The answer is hell. The other answer is to the gnaw.
Never had one?
Oh, no, I think I had. I mean, I think I had several.
You went to the wrong sideline.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think I told someone asked about like embarrassing moments in a game, and I told that story where I ran to the wrong sideline. That was most.
The fuck you doing over here?
That was most likely a concussion, though I remember everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think what we're going to find the next few years is there's several degrees to concussions.
Yeah.
You know, where I've talked to guys who have had concussions before, and, you know, they got a concussion in the first quarter, and they have no memory of that day.
But we have our good friends got a lot of concussions playing rugby, mm-hmm. and they. Stuff like they don't remember a lot of stuff, or they were like vomiting uncontrollably, mm-hmm. or like crying uncontrollably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, the vomiting is the worst.
I've never had one, but that's.
Oh, it's awful. Like, you're because your inner ear's all fucked up, and you're. It's like the worst parts of being stoned where you're paranoid about one weird thing where you're like, I need to find my gym bag. And then you just start puking.
That's so true. Yeah, so I think that's
where's
like.
Where's Dave? We gotta find Dave.
I owe Kevin $13.
Yeah. I definitely had like varying degrees, probably, I don't know, a handful of times, like maybe 10 times or so, where you, you know, I think they'd call it like getting your bell rung. But you know, when you sort of crossed a line, when you feel deja vu, like that's when you know you're kind of
fucked
up.
Yeah, you're like,
up.
I've been here before. These lights are very, oh shit.
Yeah. So that happened like a handful of times, but like I never had any crazy things like memory loss or even like dizziness or anything like that. The worst one I had was the one where I ran to the wrong sideline. But I didn't, I mean, I didn't like make it all the way to the sideline. I jogged and then turned around. But no, but I also, to be fair, did not disclose that I was like feeling a little bit weird because I wasn't going to do that because if I got pulled out of the game, I would. It was very likely that, or, you know, I was on the bubble. I knew I was going to
get
cut.
Yeah, you miss your reps.
Yeah, I missed my reps, and, you know, I'm not going to do that. So I do remember, like, feeling kind of strange for the rest of the game. And the other thing I remember about it is, like, I shouldn't have been out there in the first place.
Did you tame that strange?
I didn't take
– Sorry.
I didn't take any reps. It was on kickoff return. I didn't take any reps, and two tight ends got hurt two plays in a row. So I was third string kickoff return. And they're like, you're in. I'm like, I haven't practiced this. They're like, well, tough shit. And so then, like, yeah. So that's how I got hurt, which is kind of annoying. But then I remember, like, right around halftime, I was like, okay, I feel like a normal person again. Mm-hmm. But, like, for the first half, I was sort of.
So you just didn't tell anyone about it?
No.
Right.
Special team is just a concussion fest anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, kickoff, definitely concussion fest. And I was like, oh, God, this is bad. I'm going to get hurt. This is horrible. And then we did it, and I'm like, oh, thank God I survived. And then, like, there was a flag, and, like, the other team was offsides. And then I see our coach going, kick it again. And I'm like, fuck.
And that's when you got hurt?
And that's when because I was running a trap. So I run straight and then across the field to surprise a guy and, like, blindside him. Except when you run the same fucking play twice in a row, he knows what's happening. So it was bad.
They just didn't change the play. They're just like, yeah, do that again.
Yeah.
So I was watching the Niners game this weekend, and that safety, Eric Reed, that's the second time I've seen him like knock himself out on a play. And I'm like,
yeah.
Maybe you should think about tackling differently because you've
just
knocked
died.
Yourself out cold twice in the same season, like four games apart. Your brain's going to be fucked in a few years.
He basically just dives with his head without even using his arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Concussions, Allison? I have women give me concussions and then hack into my bank account.
Yeah, are you into that?
Yeah.
Concussion slavery?
Consciousness domination.
Yeah, yeah, consciousness dom.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't do anything that physical. That would require a concussion.
Well, the concussions aren't required.
Sometimes you fall when drunk,
though. They're not? Yeah, I do fall when I'm drunk. Yeah, I've woken up with, like, weird bruises and stuff.
Not on your brain.
Yeah.
Wow, that we know.
I'm really paranoid about parasites right now. I watched,
What's living in my body or one of those?
Yeah, it's like what's inside my body. I saw it. I was like on Megabus today. I saw like a whole episode of it and was like, well, yeah, I got one living in me probably, most
likely. Which one do you think?
The one that's like from a raccoon's poop.
Been eating a lot of raccoon poop, huh?
That is awesomely specific. Look, I'm just saying I eat at least 3 helpings of raccoon poop a month.
Because it's like, honestly, like there's fecal matter everywhere. and there's a good chance there's some raccoon poop somewhere, and I must have touched it, then touched my mouth, and so I've got like a little parasite.
When you're rooting through the garbage, you know, you probably find a lot of raccoon poop in there.
Well, dumpster diving.
Yeah. A lot of times I split that with the raccoons. They're cool about it if you're friendly.
You have to pay them off. It's like prison. You have to give them.
Otherwise, they'll fuck you up. They'll poop right in your mouth.
So what does the raccoon poop parasite do?
Well, okay, this is like super sad. Their story was like this little 11-month-old child, like baby, had accidentally eaten raccoon poop, and like it was eating his brain. It got into his brain. Whoa. And like ate his like visual cortex whatever. Oh yeah, he like was messed up, but he didn't die, which is like a miracle.
Is it? Seems like a bad thing at that point.
Yeah, but he's like, I guess he's okay now.
He can see.
He just had
stuff?
To go through a lot of like his vision's getting better, and he had to go through a lot of like physical therapy and
weird.
Stuff. Yeah.
Wow, that is a scary parasite.
Like, parents out there, don't feed your kids any raccoons.
Yeah, and keep it away from them.
But raccoons are so cute.
If he's got it in his hand, just slap it out of his hand. No.
That's what scares me about being a parent. I'm like, I would
raccoon
not.
Raccoon poop specifically?
Because you don't know. You like look away for five seconds. They're eating raccoon poop. They're like, you know, they're playing with a gun that came out of nowhere. Like,
they're getting struck
raccoons
by lightning.
Raccoons probably dropped a gun. Raccoons are constantly packing heat.
Yeah, they're big on firearms these days.
That's why they got the mask. did you find your email there, Brendan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, should I read it now? Or?
Well, yeah. Why not?
It's time.
I don't know, guys.
We want to save it till next week.
I don't know. We might have to push this until next week.
I'm actually curious which one you're going to read.
All right, I'm going to do it, guys. You ready? Greatest email of all time. This is from Muhammad. A very important question. Subject line. Very important question.
I think I know which one this is.
Is pee from your balls?
Is that it? Answer, duh.
Yeah.
That's why girls don't pee, right?
Right, because we're on balls. Yeah.
That's why they pee from their butt. That's why.
Because our balls are inside our body.
Yeah, exactly. It comes out right out the butt.
I do remember thinking pee was from your balls at some point.
So this is an actually a really good email.
That one was too. Don't take
that's true. That's true.
That was the one we've been waiting for.
How dare you?
I apologize profusely. Dear Frogcasters, I'll give you one guess for the following question. What do 8-year-olds in NFL locker rooms have in common? Two words, hater court.
This is a good one. I like this a lot.
I work as a trainer tutor at an after school program for elementary school kids. It's a rewarding job that I genuinely enjoy and look forward to each day because kids will always be easier to deal with than adults. It essentially breaks down into two parts. Prevent the kids don't get fat through exercise and diet, and make sure they do their homework. Sounds easy, right? Wrong. At the beginning of the year, the majority of my time was spent on stopping or preventing constant conflicts over the most trivial issues. Pokemon cards, Beyblades, what the fuck is a Beyblade? Along with other toys or causes for jealousy, it was a nonstop barrage of whining and slap fights, accompanied by many tears and incident reports, the TPS reports of childcare. But in a moment of desperation / clarity, I was inspired by your future NFL Hall of Famer, Frauder Brendan, and recalled the Frogcast description of the hater court. I installed the hater court judicial process, and it was immediately successful. With the advent of hater court, instead of wasting my time and sanity on conflict resolution, the children are now allowed to invoke the use of hater court to solve disputes. I get to be judge, the invokers of hater court act as their own attorneys, and the jury of 6 other children are chosen at random through laminated lots with their respective names written on them. Through the bylaws of our hater court, all judgments are final and agreed upon. It's cute to watch 8-year-olds attempt to make arguments for their cause, but then again they are trying to convince their peers, not me. Now when 2 children get in an argument, the rest begin chanting, hater court, with smiles on their faces. It would be unsettling to witness for an outsider, but it makes my job a million times easier now, so screw everyone else. So, many thanks to you, Brendan. Hopefully hater court can spread far and wide and help others as much as it helped me. With regards, JDH.
Well, thank you. I do have one point of contention, and it's actually kind of sad, and it's important. Hater court does not exist in the NFL. Hater court is a college thing. Mm. Now, here's why. In college, no one has anything, so you have to go through these elaborate forms of punishment of, like, hater court. And then I think I all told you the story about Big Dookie getting convicted in hater court. Big Dookie was 325 pounds. He was not allowed to eat at the training table for a week. 2 weeks. He had to go like on campus.
What did he do to get punished through?
I don't remember what Dookie did.
Big Duke.
I don't remember what Big Dookie did. G44 got acquitted because the accusation was that he had walked up to one of our receivers at a party while he was talking to a girl and going, "Hey, I just saw your fiance."
That's straight to hater court.
But there was like a mistrial, I think.
The hung jury.
Like I told you, it's very elaborate. Like they follow due process is observed in hater court.
I like.
Please do not take it lightly.
I like that this guy created hater court.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's working really well.
Right.
Yeah. I'd like to, especially with kids, I'd like to see them. Because essentially it's similar to Juggalo court, night court, or whatever they did. But,
so hater court is something you can really only do in college because in the NFL, everything's based on an elaborate fine system. So because everyone like makes money, so everyone gets fined and then it goes into a kitty that gets put towards a big party at the end of the year.
Put it in a kitty?
Yeah. Just shove it right up its butt.
Maybe like a cat, yeah?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, they could still do it in the NFL. I mean, it would be a much more player-run thing.
Yeah, I guess it's just more efficient, where it's like there's really clear rules, where it's like, and sometimes they can be really funny things, where it's like if you clap when you mess up, like that's a fine, you know, like shit like that.
There's a fine for even in training camp?
Yeah, there's like a really elaborate fine system.
Huh. So even though you're making basically no money, they're still fining you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Potentially.
Good times.
Yeah.
There's a P.S. on that email. P.S. Why the heck did Vince like Only God Forgives? The colors of the film are tinted red as an allegory that Gosling is already in hell. Ooh, so deep. That film was garbage and was just like Drive, a polished turd. It looked nice, but it does not change the fact that the movie is still crap.
Really? I love Drive.
Yeah, I like Drive a lot.
Drive is pretty good.
Didn't see Only God Forgives, though.
I haven't seen either.
I didn't love it. I liked that it was clearly like the work of someone who hated the audience and was just like, I dare you to watch this. I fucking hate you. You know?
Mm. I'm into that.
Cool. Yeah, you would love it, Brett.
That's super Brett.
I mean, it was a nightmare. Like, it was, you could tell he was doing stuff just to like annoy people, which I kind of appreciated. So this guy has a friend who had sex with a homeless woman that he wanted to tell us about.
That was great.
So this is
all
about...
All right. Something I can talk about.
Yeah. So this is... Yeah, finally. Input. So this is about the friend of mine that fucked a homeless woman. I live in Wilmington, North Carolina now, but at the time I was an undergraduate at Chapel Hill, and a few of my friends and I were walking home from a bar one night when we came across a woman in her late 20s, early 30s, asking for money on the side of the road. This was when one of my neighbors decided to break out the classic "you are way too pretty to be homeless" line, telling her he can't give her any money because he doesn't believe that someone like her wouldn't have a place to stay. To be honest, she was mildly attractive, despite the fact that she was really dirty and smelled kind of like shit. The rest of us think he's messing with her at first, but they keep talking and he ends up inviting her back to his place with the rest of us to drink some more, which none of us put a stop to because I guess we're just horrible human beings. Long story short, they're in bed together, things are getting hot and heavy, and she tells him to hold up. She digs in her homeless purse sack and comes out with some Right Guard Speed Stick deodorant and gives her vagina one smooth
wipe or swipe,
and then tells him she's ready. Oh yeah, and she also had an alter ego she referred to as Sid Vic, short for Sid Vicious, who got mad and yelled at her when she tried to eat pizza. She would reach for a slice, saying something along the lines of, "That looks good," and then in a much deeper devil voice, she would yell, "You can't eat that, you're too fat."
The homeless lady thinks she's too fat?
Apparently.
To eat?
Yeah.
She sounds like one of those people that, like, chose to be homeless. You know what I'm talking about?
It's the way you're born.
Like, I'm punk and, like, I'm going to live in...
It's not a choice you make.
All right, fine.
I'm just trying to imagine the state of mind that you would have to be in to think that speed stick on the vagina would make it better somehow.
Probably rampant schizophrenia.
Yeah. Probably someone that has multiple personalities.
I mean, she was like intent on getting eaten out, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely... definitely
like, I'm going to make it minty fresh.
She's definitely presumptuous.
You can appreciate that as a woman. Yeah.
Well, that's a homeless woman.
As soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, that's not a bad idea.
And deodorant goes in the purse, and we're ready to go out.
I would say use that salt, the mineral salt kind, because, you know, then you cut down on the chemical taste.
I just feel like that's
taste.
A yeast infection or something.
I've gotten some of that in my mouth. No, like, I don't want the salt deodorant in your mouth.
Vaginas are so, like, they're anything will give you an infection. Like, or, like, you know, like, they're
poop.
So... Exactly. There's, like, anything. Like, even, like, a dude's hands sometimes if he, like, didn't wash them enough.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, I have horror stories.
Do you think I'm like a Komodo dragon where I just like put my hand in there and then 3 days later she's just like staggering around all full of bacteria?
There's just every a pack time. Of Vince's coming to eat her all slow, just like chawing on her, jawing on her leg bones.
I've definitely pepper cocked myself and pepper twatted an ex girlfriend, you know, because I like to make salsa a lot. And sometimes you wash the pepper off.
You love making salsa and you love spicy stuff.
Yeah.
So some of this is junk.
And vaginas.
Yeah. Three of his favorite things.
I like spicy food and touching genitals. So I don't care if they're mine or somebody else's. Those are my joys in life.
You like making salsa specifically because you love chopping things up. And salsa involves a lot of chopping.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cuisinarty.
And it tastes good.
Yeah, but you get to chop up all these different veggies.
Yeah.
And just that's all you do is chop them all up.
Yeah.
So then you... Pepper.
It's all about assemblage. But yeah, I used to work at a Chinese restaurant and, you know, cutting up hot peppers. Some peppers are too hot where if you cut them and you can wash your hands 10 times, you're still going to pepper cock somebody.
You pepper cock
Okay, I think I know what pepper cock is.
Genitals all peppery.
Is that when you just make someone's genitals burn?
Yeah, because you touch them with your hand. And
right.
Then, yeah, and it burns. It's just like...
Thin skin.
Nothing you can do. I realized this. Well,
you have to touch the genitals.
In my experience, you go into your shower.
That's not an option.
I could just see Vince, like, battling.
No, there's no battle. There's no internal...
If you're, like, you're like mid jerk and like it starts to burn. You're like, oh shit, I might have pepper cocked myself. And you're like, I can fight through this. Like, oh no, I can't. No, I know I can't. And then you just go into your shower and you curl up into a fetal position and you kind of just sit there for 15 minutes until it goes away.
This is once a month.
It's been a while.
It's like, why has Vince in the shower for 45 minutes?
Why does he store yogurt in here?
When you first said pepper cock, I pictured like pouring pepper on a cock.
Mm.
Like I was being very literal about it.
That would be very a specific way to pepper. I mean, that would be the most direct route to pepper cocking yourself.
Yeah, and then it's like, I feel like that's like a prank on a girl or something.
No.
Like, suck my dick. She sneezes all over it. Like, that's a weird. Like, that's
like
a natural lube you're getting into.
Like a silent film. Do.
Sounds.
It's got like a close up of me, like, raising one eyebrow before she goes. Trick.
I always like the in between where there's just the card of words. And it's just like, peppercocked. And Vince just laughing maniacally.
Zounds.
Yes.
She gives a surprise look and zounds.
Oh, my mic was off. She gives a surprise look and then it goes, zounds.
I like that. Yeah, very, very literal.
I just tie a girl to the railroad tracks as the train's coming, and I'm twisting a mustache, and then I just pour hot sauce on her crotch.
Well, I like you're thinking actual
pepper.
That's
like pepper. A good Tabasco commercial.
Allison, you're talking about actual pepper, like a pepper grinder.
Yeah, or like a shaker.
Like black pepper.
Yeah.
Say when.
I keep little pepper things in my wallet. You know, you keep the deodorant in your purse. I keep pepper in my wallet just in case.
Whole pepper coins.
Yeah. Doesn't make you sneeze as much, though, than when it's ground up.
That's gross.
So to piggyback on our conversation from a few weeks ago about Ja Rule and his executive producer, God, and talking about how we wish there was like a church-like community place that you could go without necessarily being into church.
Can God still be the executive producer?
Yeah, he can. Okay. I mean, he's going to be in a more of just a financier role. He doesn't have any creative input. He doesn't retain Final Cut.
Well, executive producer is usually not a lot of creative.
Right.
But I would think he's different when he's drinking his Yoo-hoo.
Mm-hmm. I call the shots around here, okay? I will smite your ass.
Brett, so God really is an executive producer of a Ja Rule movie. That's true.
I remember reading about that.
And then Brandon has a fake, well, it might be real, Might be riffing might on be a real, real. Might be riffing on real. No God.
Art thou an unbeliever?
Yeah. Brandon had a character of God as the executive producer. Mm-hmm. Big fan of Yoo-Hoo.
On this episode of Ben, on this episode of Ben Explains the Fraudcast.
Well, you know, Allison wasn't there.
Yeah
I didn't know that. See, now that I know that.
Yeah.
That other stuff's fun.
Oh, I forgot about a good story.
You can go back and laugh later.
Yeah. So anyway, so someone sent us a an article about some people in Tennessee who are actually trying to start an atheist church. And it's, the philosophy has worked well for Evans and Jones, who launched the first Sunday assembly, frequently shorthanded to Atheist Church, in London in January. Within weeks, they were drawing capacity crowds, and the duo expects to have 35 groups meeting around the world by year's end. In the U.S., Sunday Assembly groups meet in New York, Boston, and Washington, D.C. On October 20th, Jones and Evans launched an Indiegogo campaign and aimed at raising 500,000 British pounds, or about $805,000. All are welcome at Sunday Assembly meetings, Jones said, but people looking for theological arguments will be disappointed. Sunday Assembly doesn't try to talk people out of their religious notions, just capture the best social parts of church without God or any religious doctrine. Members celebrate life with poetry, lectures, and songs such as Journey's Don't Stop Believin'.
I'd rather go to church.
Yeah, right. I'd rather go to neither.
You just made church worse.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the problem is, like, you can't base a congregation around atheism because anybody who's really into atheism is invariably, like, a douchebag. It's, like, people that want to harangue you about atheism.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's not just, like, they don't believe it. It'd be like trying to convert you, sort of.
Well, trying to convert you into nihilism. It's like, oh, I get it. It's more of a, I don't want to burn any carbs to not believe.
Yeah, our atheism is a passive atheism, whereas we're like, oh, it just doesn't really make sense, so I just don't, you know. And whereas, like, when you talk to a really militant atheist, you're like, God damn, for someone I agree with, I fucking hate you.
Yeah. Like, just chill out, bro.
Yeah.
Just want to watch some football.
Right.
That's all.
It's all a lie. It's a construct.
Oh, yeah. So
the Matrix.
So, Brett, what do you think? I mean, that was our idea.
About the church?
Yeah.
I was going to say it sounded incredibly smug, but then they were talking about how it's not. I don't know if I'd go to Journey Church. The problem is it's like any sort of non-standard movement is you're going to get so fractured by the time you actually put something together.
Yeah. You know? What if it was Boston Church?
If you don't have this one undivided tenant, then you're kind of like, well, I don't really like Journey, so I'm not going to go.
Well, for me,
or poetry.
Yeah, I was just going to say the poetry unsold me on mm-hmm. that. Mm. The last thing I want to do is
go.
But
you can find a million ways to split why you wouldn't go. And that's sort of the problem is if there's not some sort of giant space dad telling you you have to, it doesn't really work.
So true.
Space dad's such a good executive producer, though.
I mean, it's just like, I just feel like I feel like this is the first thing and then there's going to be like atheist holidays and like, you know, atheists, like, it's just going to turn into a religion.
Community first.
Yeah.
You'd have to be like, you'd have to find some sort of reason to get the people in your building and the building across the street together that was important enough to where they would attend something where you actually have to sit with those people long enough.
And listen to poetry and Journey.
I don't know if poetry has a place.
Preferably not poetry and Journey.
There's a church here in San Francisco that's like what's his face? A jazz guy. God damn it.
They're Bob like, Ross?
No.
No, he's a painter.
What's it?
And he's dead.
What's the church? It's like they worship this
Z-bop
jazz
Bibbidi's,
musician.
Bibbidi Zop-bop.
The Church of Mingus.
Coltrane.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a Coltrane church.
Oh. Isn't the Church of Satan in San Francisco, too?
I'm sure.
That's pretty metal.
I can get behind a false god. Yeah. If everyone just sort of like out the door admits that it's just sort of a creepy idol.
Yeah. Yeah, we were like dressing up in costumes and
I think I need a layer of irony involved.
If Vince is scatting and bebopping, I might go to that church.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
The Church of Scatman. The Church of the Modern Day Scatman.
I would go to that and worship that god.
That's like talking in tongues.
Yeah. It is sort of similar.
I would go to Hater Court every day of the week, though. I would just make that a 2-hour block in the morning.
That is a good
idea. Hater Court Church?
Yeah. If Hader Court were my new god, I'm okay.
Well, it doesn't need to be called a church. We just want a place for community organizing.
And there's no better way to organize community than around shaming someone who's done wrong in that community.
Exactly.
Yeah. Especially for being a hater. There's nothing worse than being a hater.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. No. No.
Yeah. There wasn't any other kind of court.
Yeah.
There's Hader Court.
That's what there's.
That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, I did want to get to my mom's panicked voice messages on my phone this weekend.
Oh, what was she worried about?
She just found out that my little league coach was doing 25 to life for child molestation.
Okay. Oh, you knew that for years.
I knew that he was charged with it.
He knew that about 14 years ago.
Yeah.
No.
I knew it in my bones.
I knew it in my butt about 20 years ago.
The first time I was peppercocked.
It's where I developed a taste for it.
He peppercocked me when I was 12. Couldn't go back.
Just been stuck in that mental state ever since.
I had a junior high. I'll let you finish. But my junior high coach is, I don't know what ever happened to him, but he was arrested for child porn stuff, like pre-internet.
Mm.
Yeah.
How's that? Like, just paintings?
It was computers.
Tasteful oils.
It was, he had like 12 oil paintings.
Pre-photography.
I mean, you could argue that's like what every major artist was
I'm
into.
I'm really old.
That's true.
Old-timey maps.
This is like early 1900s.
He just draw two kids fucking on the corner of a map where they didn't know what was
He's
there.
Got a sextant that points to the young boy's crotch.
Pre-photography, yeah, it was oils. Anyway.
Yeah.
You're literally coach.
She was very like, I let him drive you home all those times. You know, she's feeling very guilty, wanted to make sure that he didn't touch me.
He didn't get peppercocked?
Yeah. He didn't. He massaged my legs in a weird way one time.
Really?
You could argue that it had like a therapeutic purpose, but it probably had a sexual undertone.
He didn't make it all the way to your boner.
No, he did not.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's safe.
I kind of feel for like pedophiles a little bit.
Yeah. Well, because I did too. Because for me, I mean, he never tried to touch me or anything. So I'm thinking.
But
I'm
it was
like,
so tempting, you know?
Well, I'm just thinking that the main difference. People don't want to talk about this, but I feel like probably a big difference between a lot of dudes that work with kids and dedicate their lives to it and child molesters is like willpower. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of dudes that work with little kids that probably want to touch them.
There's a, you mean
and
there's
they
a range.
Don't, but they like, you know. Yeah.
There's a range.
Your natural instinct as a male around young children is to bite them behind the neck and break their neck so that you could potentially breed with their mothers.
Yeah. That's right.
That's Brett's main, like, the child molesters are trying not to rape the kids. Brett's trying not to murder all of them with a bite behind the neck.
Don't shake him till
like in the worst
neck
way possible.
Yeah, so I mean, the guys that really want to do that, probably, I don't want to say they all want to molest kids, but there's probably a decent segment that do.
Every dude that works with kids?
I'm just saying, if no dude wanted to molest kids, we probably wouldn't have enough dudes to take kids out to play.
Oh, man. Like, we'd have no Big Brother program.
I mean, we'd have some, but I don't know if we have enough.
No Catholic Church.
I feel like a lot of that stuff, too, though, is like, if no guy wanted to get laid by women, it wouldn't exist either. You know
true.
What I'm saying?
True. Yeah, you could argue that for anything.
Guitar playing has an entire experience.
So it's like
decorative candles.
Like if a guy's
scatting.
Big brother,
scatting.
A big brother.
Cup stacking.
He's
big
either a pedophile or he's trying to get laid real hard.
I don't know.
They don't really care about the kid.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some that do, but I'm just saying I don't think. I would say like a good, you know, there's a decent portion that probably. You know, like being around kids for not the greatest of reasons.
I could see that.
Hmm. Well, I don't know if I agree with that, but the church.
Well, we both have had youth coaches that are in jail for child porn and molestation. So, I mean, right there, not granted, we don't have a huge sample size, but that's 2 out of 5 at this point.
All right.
I feel left out, you guys.
Well, when we go to the church of the Scat Man this weekend, you'll feel better. I could get behind the Church of the Scat Man.
I feel better already.
Church of the Scat Man is anti-molestation.
That's our main thing.
Number one tenet.
Scatting and anti-molestation. Yeah.
Those are the two commandments.
Scatting, no pedos, and
strict no pedos.
We're neutral on butt stuff.
But we're very open to
use real words, and you can't touch the dingus.
Yeah. You can touch your own. You can peppercock yourself. Just not the kids.
Right.
Not the kids?
Nope.
No. I'm totally down with the Church of the Scat Man.
Yeah. But so, yeah, so my mom called me like 3 times in like the course of two days.
So she felt this guilt. Was she worried he was like out on the lam, like raping you at the moment? Or she
she's worried that she like put me in a dangerous situation and worried that something had happened.
Man. It is funny to me that she just found out and then all of a sudden she was completely panicked and had to get the answer. Vince, were you raped like 20
years
ago?
She's like, I'm pretty sure I would have been able to tell.
How old were you?
Like 11, 12.
So this is about 20 years ago.
Right in prime, like right when I was at my hottest for a pedophile, I would say.
It's been all down in your life.
But yeah, it's been all downhill.
Right before puberty, but, you know, where I'm not yet awkward.
Yeah, you were so hot.
So did you give your poor mother an out as to why you turned out this way, or she still have to live with the fact that it's probably just all her fault?
Did you think this was like, this made everything make sense?
I get it now.
She was like hoping you would admit it.
Right.
Oh, no?
Oh, now you can be in therapy.
It all makes sense, Vince. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You can tell me.
Now there's a support group, at least. What was there before?
I've been going to support for the last 3 hours while you weren't answering my calls.
Oh, child blogger support groups.
There's going to be more of this springing up. My son makes BuzzFeed gifts.
Epidemic. It's a cultural disease.
He's a listicler.
What were some of the ones that you found today, Brett? Brett emailed me today, or he texted me, and he's like, I stumbled onto BuzzFeed, and I was just getting angrier and angrier.
I had to stop. I only have the one, but I was doing it for research because the stuff I'm building will hopefully put them out of business.
No, but you, like, can never put BuzzFeed out of business, Brett.
No, they're not. They provide.
When he says stuff I'm
building,
he means a death ray.
Oh, literally, he's going to burn their office down.
Yeah,
there won't be any bodies left.
That's true. It is harder to work when you're dead.
Yes.
So I was looking through their stuff, trying to find good lists of like top blank for blank. And I found 20 people having a way tougher day at work than you. And number 8 was, and I have to get the wording right because it's important. Anyone who just realized that the downfall of their clever business name.
That's one of the numbers of the list.
Somebody typed out to improve on a GIF that they stole from somewhere. like the GIF wasn't good enough and that sentence somehow made it okay.
I feel like everyone who works at BuzzFeed is like all the like most horrible people from your like theater class or like.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a party to deeply cynical workplaces where everyone's mercenary or just kind of a rube. And I don't know how BuzzFeed employees can move through the office without constantly slipping on all the drool that's accumulated on the floors from them being unable to control their mouth.
Well, I've known multiple people that work there that got let go or pushed out because they like weren't, you know, giffy enough. Like they didn't
more gifts.
They didn't they didn't fit the lolcat culture quite well enough.
The gift factory?
Yeah.
Do you know anyone there currently?
Every article gets like 50,000 likes.
Because it's just geared into like the stupidest part of your brain where
but
you're like,
so,
click,
so
why did I
dumb.
Do that?
Like, I'm okay with good, dumb fun, but like this was just incomprehensibly dumb where it's kind of scary where you have to kind of figure out who this would make sense to, and that terrifies you.
I just hate having a Facebook timeline full of people who share those things. It's like, especially number 4 and number 12. That's totally me.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like all these things that are trying to like get a specific person. Like, oh 24 signs you're an introvert. And every single person is sharing it. Like, they're all introverts.
Well, and they have really oddly specific ones, too, where it's like, 20 signs that you were born in 1986 and grew up in Wisconsin. And it's like, you like shopping at Wesley's. And it's like, oh, that's totally true. They got me. And then you share it with all your stupid high school friends. And it's like, oh, dude.
And they just all drool on each other. Just drool.
We're famous.
Like a big old Great Dane party. St. Bernard and each other.
You're not allowed to do that voice at the Church of the Scatman. That's banned, too.
That was a great... do you remember The State? That sketch comedy show on MTV. Mm-hmm. It was one of my favorite shows ever. Yeah, yeah, like, well, Ken Marino, who's on Eastbound and Down now.
Disturbingly fit these
a lot
days.
Of the yeah, a lot of the Reno 911 folks. Anyway,
Ian Black.
One of my favorite sketches they did was just, it was basically a cereal commercial, but everyone was like, the mom like pours the cereal for the kid, but she's holding the box upright and just like shakes it out. Oh, it's amazing. And then Ken Marino is the milkman. He shows up like,
your memory for so obscure good. Comedy yeah. is second to none.
I love The State. That's right up my alley.
Yeah. One last thing. We did get one more obnoxious Facebook status that I thought was worth sharing. And it's just a picture that someone shared. And it's actually shared from 1 million vaginas, whatever that is. And it's
oh, you don't know.
Is that a place?
It's a
is that a person or a place?
I think it's a page, like a
it's a conspiracy business. Theory how that there are only 1 million vaginas in existence.
It's like the Jehovah's Witnesses.
And there's a cap you can't exceed.
I'm a believer in only 1 million vaginas.
Like the Jehovah's Witnesses, only 200 and some thousand people can get into heaven. Okay. It's like, oh, there's only 1 million vaginas. Now, there's no way all these women have vaginas.
That's it's just... like the 33 virgins. There's only so many to go around.
Are you believe every woman
think,
has a vagina?
You think her? You think she has one? Come on. Get real, pal. Yeah.
You're either born with it or you're not.
Wake up, sheep.
I like that.
So, and then the picture, it's just a picture and a caption, and it's a guy. It says, clothes can't talk. The woman in them can't. Or, clothes can't talk. The woman in them can. I listen to her voice, not her fabric. Hashtag slut shaming, slut walk St. Louis.
Brett like
whoa,
that.
Can and I it see says, it?
And, it's, and then the caption is, we need more people like Timothy. We are more than the clothes we wear.
What? Hashtag only 1 million vaginas.
Who is that guy?
That's Timothy.
Timothy.
Apparently. Oh, he's just a guy.
Clothes.
He's a hero.
Clothes.
You better recognize his face.
Clothes can't talk. I listen. The woman in them can. I listen to her voice, not her fabric.
Timothy totally looks like the kind of guy that would say that just to get laid.
Exactly.
What kind of incomprehensible statement is that? Like, who's listening to a woman's fabric? What does that even mean?
Yeah, that sounds like that's actually like what a gay guy would do. Your clothes are speaking to me right now.
Can I feel that? What is that?
Is that silk?
Well, and like, what's it's. There's an implication that he's in opposition of something. Like, I'm assuming it's some sort of like male chauvinist culture where it's like, hey, turn those clothes up, baby. Or like, I don't get like what.
I could barely hear him.
Yeah. There's a lot of things like that where it's like, I don't know what you're setting yourself up against. Like the implication is like you put yourself in opposition to like a very small moronic child.
Right.
Mommy's clothes
stick
are louder
that skirt
than...
in my ears.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. Can I say it one more time?
Yes.
Clothes
I mean, he's got glasses, so he's obviously very thoughtful. And
yeah,
sensitive.
He thought a lot about, you know, what he wrote before he said it. Yeah.
There was a couple edits of that too.
Right.
That wasn't just.
Do you think he made the image himself?
I don't know. Maybe someone just wanted. They heard Timothy say that, and they're like, "Fuck, dude, that's so profound. Let's get you a headshot.
Let's get this onto 1 million vaginas.
We need you a hashtag campaign, Timothy.
You could be a hero of Facebook.
Yeah,
we need you on 1 million.
Do you think there's a hall? Do you think there's a hall where all the idiot heroes have statues, and they're all just smiling, kind of dumb?
Yeah,
it's called the Hall of.
Just a lot of. It's just like a lot of those inspirational posters.
With the eagle's
just one stone.
I would love that as a poster, like in a third grade classroom.
Yeah. On that same note, I saw a tweet today that this woman tweeted out. I don't know who it was, but leaving 12 years a slave, a white man stayed behind crying, really crying. I heard him tell his wife, my grandmother, she owns slaves. And it's like, you needed to see 12 years a slave so that you could experience white guilt, really? Like, you didn't.
You didn't know slavery was bad until
also,
then?
Also, I'm just going to do some basic. Was this guy 147 years old?
Yeah.
Was
it? Also.
My grandma.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, great didn't fit into 140.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay.
Seriously, she was really, really racist.
She owned slaves in 1973.
She had thrown in an insane asylum. She had some problems.
Well, to be fair, Vince is still waiting for that plantation to come around.
Yeah, well, I don't want to own slaves. I just want people to call me Mister and by my first name.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
It never gets any better the more you explain it.
Whatever.
You should just have a lot of kids.
Yeah, it's true. I don't think they're going to call me Mr. Vince, though.
You could make them.
Yeah.
It's like the point of parenthood.
Yeah.
It's to force people to do things.
That's true. But with the TV nowadays, they get all these ideas in their head.
They call you Dad.
Yeah. You're going to have to create like your own little strange call like in Dogtooth.
Yeah, I just haven't seen that.
Oh, it's cool.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I think that's like the 12. I think that's why everybody feels they need to write a good review of 12 Years a Slave, because it's like, oh, it's so fucking so powerful. Like, people are not going to know that slavery was bad unless they see this horrible movie about it.
That's, I mean, I don't plan on seeing it, but from what you and Laramie said, it's just basically
flagellate yourself for 2 hours.
And then I should follow it up with what was the Jesus one?
Passion of the Christ.
Yeah. So passionate, that Christ guy.
Oh, he had so much love for everybody, little children.
High pain tolerance, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know that from reading the Bible.
It's very, very strong. They said he scored in the 98th percentile in pain tolerance.
At Hebrew school?
Yeah.
If he didn't die, he would have gone to an Ivy League.
Oh, I got a scholarship on being whipped to death.
My back and take the cat of nine tails like no one else.
Flagellation scholarship.
Well, you know, if Jesus lived through that,
yet,
he'd so. Be into that. Like, that'd be his fetish.
He'd be financially dominated.
Well, yeah, like, he doesn't want money anyways, right?
Just take my fish.
Slap me with it first. Keep taking
my fish.
He goes to the temple and kicks over the money, changes tables.
Take my fucking bread too and my cheese.
No, it's during the day he's kicking over all the money changers' tables, and then at night he's like, oh, just charge me interest. Just usury. I need it. It's like thorns into my forehead. So good. Mocking Christ. That's what we'll do at Church of the Scat Man. We'll just go. We'll speak in tongues, no butt stuff, and then lots of mocking Christ.
I thought butt stuff was 50-50. No, okay.
Well, maybe no kids.
No pedos.
No kids, yeah. No,
maybe
no.
Butt stuff.
We got to get the rules down straight. I know we can't take it serious.
Definite maybe on butt stuff.
Yeah. We're definite no on child molestation.
We're not against butt stuff. That's just where we'll leave it.
Man, if a guy like wrote that on his OK Cupid, like... Definitely not into child molestation. Maybe butt stuff. I'd be down. I think I'd message him back.
Message me if you are a definite maybe on butt stuff.
And
not into children.
I like to haggle.
Demands shrooms on the first date.
What?
Scat court demands shrooms on the first date.
Scat court.
That would be a punishment at scat court.
You got to take shrooms and repent.
You have to go take shrooms and go on a blind date.
and then sit in a car for 2 hours.
And then you get cross-examined by star prosecutor Steven Tyler.
Come on, I would be there in a heartbeat.
Also, the Social Distortion lead singer, very good scatter. Yeah.
Mike Ness.
Taking too long to end a
yeah,
song.
Yeah.
You're like, the song is supposed to end 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's adding extra syllables. I think that counts as scatting.
So Axel, can Axel come too then?
Yeah. Where's Axel's?
Well, I guess it's not a scatting. It's just more like Sweet Child of Mine.
You can't use real words. No real words. Yeah. It's in the fucking Bible.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know. Just saying.
There's some good Anthony Kiedis scat where he does entire scat verses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think Red Hot Chili Peppers should be like the band, the church
band
or whatever. Yeah. Like
the church is scared.
Because even when they have lyrics, it just sounds nonsensical. Yeah. It's just like, poop on my first tree, take me to the nursery.
I like that. That's like the joking verse right there. He would steal that from you. All right.
That was good.
Yeah. I feel good about it. Yeah.
Excellent.
Allison?
Yeah.
Do you still have some coconut water? Yeah. Or is that going back in the purse?
No, I'm about to dump it in the purse.
I like that you're going back and forth between coconut water and whiskey. Trying to stay hydrated.
I finished my whiskey, so I'm now hydrating.
Those are two of your favorite beverages.
It's true. I don't do the ice in the coconut water, though. I don't want it to dilute. Is it good? Is that
I like it cold.
Okay.
I'm weird with temperature. I need things to be really cold.
Right. All right, well... anything to plug besides Twitter, Just About Glad? I should have let her say that. Damn it.
When's this going up?
Tomorrow.
I mean, I have a show tomorrow.
There you go. Plug it.
I'll be at The Business in San Francisco.
Ooh, it's a good
one. Well, this goes up tomorrow, so the show is today.
Right.
November 13th, right?
I mean, right, yeah.
Wednesday, November 13th at The Business.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for all your emails, everyone. Frogcast@gmail.com. Keep them coming in. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
415-275-0030.
One of these days when we don't feel like frogcasting, we're just going to play every single voicemail.
It'll just be like the best of, and it'll be like a clip show, but all voicemails.
One of these days we'll do it. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and until next week, good night and good chins.
Wow.